Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today was a big day at the Supreme Court. The justices ruled that the University of Texas at Austin can consider race as a factor in admissions. They also deadlocked 4-4 on President Obama's immigration plan. That tie means the lower court ruling blocking the president's plan stands. Dahlia Lithwick covers the Supreme Court for Slate. She is with us from Washington. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And let's start with immigration. Tie vote here on a very big case. Was this expected?
I think it was expected. For those of us who sat through oral argument, it was fairly clear that the court was simply going to be split on the usual conservative liberal lines. I should note that because this was affirmed in one sentence, you know, literally the court publishes something that says affirmed by equally divided court, we don't know how the justices vote. Their names are not on this. But assuming it was the conservatives on one side and the liberals on the other, that was telegraphed, I think, fairly clearly an argument.
And remind us of the case and what was at issue here.
This was a challenge to President Obama's 2014 executive orders on immigration. At the time, he said, I can't get Congress to do anything, so I am going to unilaterally issue some orders that explain what the rules are going to be for deportation. And in effect, what he did was he said, we're going to reprioritize who we deport. We're going to say criminals and drug dealers and multiple offenders are going to bump up the list. And folks who have families here who have been here for a long time are going to have an eligibility to have a kind of quasi-official status and the eligibility to work. So almost immediately that was challenged by 26 states, including Texas, who said that vastly exceeded his executive authority. One district judge in Texas enjoined the entire program, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed. So this was really a challenge that was not litigated in the courts. It was simply a preliminary injunction to Obama's executive order.
And in effect, what you're saying is that the decision of one district court in Texas has now become the law of the land.
Well, that is certainly what the administration is saying. They're saying we can't believe that one judge had the ability to strike down the entire proposition. Certainly, the administration has the ability to challenge this in a different court, in a different jurisdiction. But given that Obama is out of office in November, it certainly looks as though this never goes into effect.
President Obama spoke earlier today about this decision. Let's listen.
But for more than two decades now, our immigration system, everybody acknowledges, has been broken. And the fact that the Supreme Court wasn't able to issue a decision today doesn't just set the system back even further. It takes us further from the country that we aspire to be.
Now, the president went on to make the case yet again that he wants the Senate to at least hear from and confirm Merrick Garland as the ninth seat on the Supreme Court to replace Justice Scalia, who passed away and has made it so that we have these 4-4 ties right now. That's not likely to happen before the election, is it, Dahlia?
It's not likely to happen. I think it's extremely unlikely. But certainly this case, this United States versus Texas, is the highest profile case that splits 4-4, that does all the things that are bad about a 4-4 split, including not ruling on anything, no guidance, no opinion, and having different law in different jurisdictions in the land. So this really is kind of a poster boy case for why eight justices is not awesome. And as such, it's going to push both the issue of immigration and the issue of the vacancy at the court into the forefront for the November election.
Does the administration have any other options here in terms of the immigration plan?
Well, like I say, they can certainly and they may well bring this case in another court in a more favorable jurisdiction and hope for a conflict between two circuits, which then bounces it back to the court. But again, I think we are short on time. And also, until you have nine justices, the court is going to come out the same way next time.
We've seen reaction from a lot of people today, including Jorge Ramos, the Univision news anchor. He says, at the end, it is clear that immigration reform is needed more than ever before and that this is a bad day for Hispanics and that this is going to play into the election. What kind of other reaction are you hearing about this decision at the Supreme Court or this tie?
There was a real crowd out front at the court of families begging for families to be kept together. Lots of posters, lots of signs. I saw tears as I left the court today. I think that the general feeling that there had been a promise that for more than 4 million people could, in Obama's words, you know, come out of the shadows, in Justice Sotomayor's words, come out of the shadows and live and be kind of recognized and work. I think that they're very, very discouraged today. And that was what I was hearing on the flip side, hearing Texas and officials from Texas and the other states that sued saying this is a vindication of the principle that there is no imperial presidency and Obama doesn't have the ability to work around Congress just because he doesn't like what they're doing.
We're speaking with Dahlia Lithwick about the Supreme Court decisions today. She's with Slate. And Dahlia, another big decision that we got today, unrelated to the immigration decision. This is Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin. It was a challenge to the University of Texas's affirmative action program, and the court said the university can legally consider race in the admissions process. Tell us about that one.
This is a case that is back for its second visit at the U.S. Supreme Court. 3 years ago, the court decided what was called Fisher 1. This is called Fisher 2. And it is a petition from Abigail Fisher, a young white woman, who says, I think that the use of race in affording admission places at the University of Texas violates my 14th Amendment right. I think it is a race-based decision-making process. So she challenged it. She, in the first Fisher case, 3 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court kicked it back to the lower courts in Texas and said, look harder, use a stricter standard to determine if we can use race. And today, in a, I think I would say, surprising 4-3 decision, Justice Kennedy sides with the liberals on the court, not only to uphold this race-based part of the Texas affirmative action program, but he has never upheld affirmative action programs. And so this is quite a surprise coming from him. He's quite skeptical of the use of race in higher education. But today he sides with the liberals and says in a very limited way, Texas can go on using race if it fosters diversity in the classroom.
And does this apply nationwide or does this just have to do with the University of Texas?
It applies nationwide insofar as the what was on the chopping block was the principle that in a very limited way, one could use race as a factor in admissions. If that had gone away, I think every affirmative action program that used race at all would have had to stop using it. This certainly suggests, as I said, in a very limited way, only to foster diversity and in a very carefully tailored program, universities around the country can use race as one of many, many, I think the words he used were a factor within a factor within a factor in determining admissions.
You can always tell someone who covers the courts because they use terms like insofar as, Dahlia, but thank you for doing that. Let me ask you this. We've got another couple of decisions that we're still waiting for, some big ones, right?
Yeah, I think all eyes are on the court on Monday to finish up. And the one that everybody, the protesters and everybody is mobbing the court is Whole Women's Health. That is the challenge to Texas's HB2, the omnibus, abortion regulations that were passed, as you'll recall, over Wendy Davis's filibuster. This is without a doubt the most consequential abortion case the court will have heard since 1992's Casey decision. And really, I think everybody is calling their bookie to try to figure out what they can read into what happened today, who has outstanding opinions to write, trying to determine how that one will come down.
Would you say from a legal perspective that Scalia's absence on the court so far has been better for the liberals on the court and what they want to achieve or for the conservatives?
I think certainly with the decision in Fisher today in the affirmative action case, it's probably fair to say that the liberal side of the court is winning more than they're losing, and they're winning in some big ticket cases. But I think both the liberals and the conservatives on the court, and they won't say this out loud, but I think they would say that being hamstrung in this fashion where they either have to decide things very, very, very narrowly or bat them away, I'm not going to say insofar as, but I am going to say in as much as they're not able to do their job very well at now, I think it's a net loss for both sides because the court isn't getting it done.
It's Dahlia Lithwick, who covers the Supreme Court for Slate, talking to us about the two big decisions today, one about immigration, one about affirmative action. You can read more about those at hereandnow.org. And we're going to get more decisions, the rest of them, for the term coming next Monday. Dahlia, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.